The Old Testament is filled with powerful stories of God's activity in the lives of His people. One of those stories from the Old Testament is told in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapters 28 and 29. If you have a Bible, you can open it up there. I'm going to be showing you some things from that text of Scripture in just a moment. But 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29 record for us the story of David sharing a vision that God had placed in his heart. David in chapter 28 stands before the people of Israel and he begins to share with them the vision of the building of a temple. David begins to pour from his heart what God had put in his heart, what God had shared with him, what God had brought the leadership of Israel to understand. And David pours that out all the way into the beginning of chapter 29. And then in chapter 29, verse 5, David reaches a point after he's really shared what he believes is what God is leading them to as a people. He asks them a question. Look at verse 5 of chapter 29 on the screen. Here's the question that he asks. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Who then is willing? A couple of important words in that question. The first word is the word willing. The word willing is a Hebrew word that describes a voluntary desire of the heart to give of oneself or of one's resources to the service of the Lord. David shared the vision and then he said, are you ready from the heart? Has God allowed you to wrap your heart around this like he has me? And then the second word is the word consecrate. It's an interesting word. We don't use it much in the English language today to consecrate oneself. In the Hebrew, it's really two Hebrew words. And the Hebrew words literally mean to fill one's hand. Here's what David is asking. Are you ready from the heart to fill your hand with that which God has given you and live generously as an investment in God's activity? David shared what he believed God was leading him to do. Then he asked him this question, and the Bible records for us in 1 Chronicles 29 that the people of God responded and they gave in unbelievable, unparalleled fashion. 10 weeks ago, I stood before you and shared what we believe to be the vision, the next steps for us as a church family. It's not something we saw in the clouds. It's something we believe God spoke into our hearts as a leadership team. Our pastoral team, our stewardship team, our shepherd leadership, we've spent the last 2.5 years seeking the face of God together. We've had corporate prayer meetings. We've had private prayer meetings. We've had personal prayer meetings. Literally hundreds of hours of prayer just seeking God's direction. And 10 weeks ago, I stood before you and I shared a reality, a conviction, if you will, that God had birthed in our hearts. And here's what it said. What God is doing at Hope is greater than the capacity of our current facilities. And I share that with you again because I want you to understand that was a conviction that we came to. We didn't just look around and go, oh, this building's full. It's time to build another one. No, we needed to know that what God was doing in the life of our church was literally bigger than the capacity of the platform that God had given us. We didn't just want to take a next step because it's what you do. We needed to hear clearly from God. So we waited 2 years until God really gave us this conviction that what God was doing was larger than that platform. And so we took a temporary next step in coming here to Silverado High School. We've been meeting here now, can you believe, for almost 5 months as a church family right here in this location. Those of you setting up and taking down every weekend, you can believe it. It feels like 12 months to you, right? But this was a temporary step. And we introduced to you 10 weeks ago the idea of a future launching pad. Building a campus, a home that had some specifics that we gave you, the purchase of 15 to 20 acres of land, construction of a 40 to 50,000 square foot church campus, and a seating capacity of 12 to 1500 with all the surrounding ministry space that you need for a church campus like that. But we said it was a launching pad. And I hope what you saw this morning as we stood these people on the platform is a tangible way for us to understand it really is a launching pad. When we talk about building a campus, when we talked about launching a church, God had Central America and God had Egypt and God had Africa and God had Thailand and Laos all on his heart. Remember what we said? God's activity in our lives is what? It's always bigger than us, right? It's always bigger than us. Then 2 weeks ago, actually it's 4 weeks ago now, I asked you a similar question to the one David asked. We told you to take 21 days and to pray. We asked you to seek God. And we basically said what David said. Are you ready? From the heart. To fill your hands and live generously as an investment in God's activity. We set some goals as a church family. We set an overall goal of $4 million. That would be total cash and pledges. It was coming in two parts, a $250,000 cash offering up front and a $3.75 million pledge offering to be given over 3 years. And let me just say that just like the people of God in the book of Chronicles, you have given. To date, as of right now today, and this is with still some outstanding because I've had some people say even today, hey, I haven't been able to be here, but we're ready to give and participate. But where we are right now today, total cash and pledges is $4,100,262. And we celebrate God's activity today. Now, when we went into this together, we said, God, would you do it in such a way that all we can say is God did it? That we can't say, look what we did. We can just say, man, look what God did. And let me give you a couple of examples of how God did it, all right? We did not, when we went into this process, we interviewed some different companies that come into churches and help you kind of run a campaign. And we just did not feel like that was us. The only way I know how to describe it is we felt like David with King Saul's armor on. It just didn't fit. Not to say it's the wrong thing to do. It just wasn't for us. And so we just did not go that route. But we did hire a consultant that kind of walked alongside because we did want to learn from the wisdom of people that have done this before and not make major mistakes. We wanted to stay out of the ditches and just trust God and let God lead us through this process. And at the end of several meetings with our consultant, we looked at him and said, man, you've done this with dozens and dozens of churches. What would you recommend? If you look at a church the size of Hope with our current budget and giving, what would you recommend we set as a goal? He said, Vance, I'll be honest with you. After having done this a whole bunch, looking at your church, what I believe that you guys would be able to do is $3 million. So what we did was what we asked you to do. We said, all right, God, that's what we can do. Now, Lord, what do you want to do? And we set the goal at $1 million more than the consultant recommended that we set it. And I can tell you, that led to much prayer on behalf of the pastoral team. But we just really believed that God wanted to do something through us that only he could get the glory for. And you see what's happened. God's provided over $4 million in cash and pledges. But another part of this story that was just unbelievable is that in this economy, I got to be transparent, all right? I'm a human being. In this economy, you know, we're living in the worst economy in 50 years in our country. The part that gave me the greatest concern was the upfront cash offering. Because I've had many of you say, hey, man, until things change, my pledge is going to come in closer to the end because of where the economy is, the market is, and real estate and all the stocks and all those things. A lot of people have said it's going to come in more to the end. So my big concern, to be totally honest with you, what really kept me on my face before God was that initial upfront offering of $250,000 because I knew that the people of Hope were going to live generously. I just did not know what capacity we had as a church family in this economy. We had set a goal of $250,000 cash. And I have to tell you today, we did not hit $250,000 cash. To date, we have $1,181,297.83. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Can I just say to you today, only God could do that. You know, we talked about they gave according to their ability, and they gave beyond their ability. If you look at our situation in this economy from a human perspective, you'd have to say there's no way that can happen. 30% of what we hoped to come in is already in the bank. 30%. That is a total God thing. It's a miracle, and we give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for that. We wanted to say God did it, and man, today we can say God did it. God did it. God did it. Praise the Lord. Now, after the people gave, something else happened in this text. David publicly proclaimed a blessing to the Lord. And I want you to read it with me in 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 9. If you don't have a Bible this morning, these words are going to be on the screen, but listen to what it says. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. I think it probably looks something like what just happened right here. We just rejoiced because of what God's done through us. For they had made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Verse 10, so David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And we shout a big amen at the end of verse 13. Amen. We thank you and praise your glorious name. Verse 14. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? I love this perspective. For all things come from you. And from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you. And tenants, and all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there's no hope. Oh, Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, oh my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of our heart. You know what he's praying there? God, may what we've learned through this experience with you never leave us. God, may we pass it on from generation to generation. Direct their heart to you. 19, and give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I've made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. After the people heard what God was doing and responded in generosity, then David publicly blessed the Lord. And I want to do that today, right out of these verses. I want you to say that just like David, and today we are literally, this is so awesome to me, we are following right in the footsteps of followers of God from centuries ago as we're walking on this journey together. Exactly what happened in their midst, God's doing right now today. Listen, we're still serving the God of the Bible, and he is alive and active in this world. Today, we bless the Lord. Today, we bless the Lord because he is a big God. Amen? That's exactly what David was saying here. God is big. One of the greatest things that could happen in our lives through this journey is not that we give an offering or not that we get a facility built. One of the greatest things that could happen in our lives is that we get a fresh vision of the bigness of God. Listen, nothing is too big for God. Amen? I want you to say that out loud with me. Nothing is too big for God. Do you believe that? Listen, if you believe that, that'll change the way you look at your life. And look at the situations and circumstances that you're facing right now. What's keeping you up at night? What are you worried about? What's concerning you? What's got your heart all torn up on the inside? Listen, nothing is too big for our God. If we learn nothing else through this journey, may we learn that God is big. And today we bless the Lord because God is big. David said we see his bigness, number one, in who he is. In verse 9, David breaks out in this crescendo, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the victory. David is saying God is big in who he is. David is not just suggesting that God is great and powerful and glorious and majestic. David is implying that all greatness and all power and all glory and all majesty come from God himself. Listen, God doesn't do great things because he's great. God's not great because he does great things. God does great things because he is great. We see his bigness in who he is. Secondly, we see his bigness in what is his. Look at what David said at the end of verse 11. He said, yours is everything that is in the heavens and the earth. The word everything is a word that implies all or the whole. It means every individual part and the whole pie. David here is saying it all belongs to him. God owns it all. And if we've learned nothing through this journey, listen, our Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And he has resources that we are not even aware of. It all belongs to him. And David said, we bless his bigness because of what is his. Thirdly, David says that we bless his bigness because of what he does. Verses 12 through 14, David begins to describe God's activity in their lives by saying, both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen. Verse 14, he closes by saying, all things come from you, and from your hand we've given. You know what David's doing? David is blessing God because of his gracious activity in their life. David was not saying, man, look what we've done. David said, man, look what God did. And he was celebrating what God was doing. And today, we bless the Lord because he is a big God. Secondly, today we bless the Lord because he is at work in a big world. Look at verse 11. David said, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. The word dominion here is the Hebrew word for the word kingdom. This phrase is the phrase that Jesus was quoting in the New Testament in the Lord's Prayer when he said, yours is the kingdom. Then David says, and you exalt. It's present tense, meaning you continue to exalt yourself. David in verse 11 is describing this big God at work in a big world where God is at work all over the world, bringing men and women into right relationship with himself so that his name is exalted to the ends of the earth. Man, just in the last 7 days, I've received email correspondence updating me on God's activity through our partners in Tucson, Arizona, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Egypt, South Africa, Thailand, India, Congo, and Zambia. God is alive and at work all over the world. We have a team on the field right now in Zimbabwe. It's just a small team of people from right here out of Hope. They're preaching a crusade every night. You know how many people are showing up every night? 3,000 people every night. They've already seen over 300 people trust Christ as Lord and Savior. They were expecting 40 pastors to show up to be trained. They've had over 300 pastors every day show up to be trained. We bless God today because he is at work in a big world. Number three, today we bless the Lord because he's invited us into a big life. Look at verses 15 and 16. David says, for we are sojourners before you in tenants. All our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow. What's he describing? He's describing the temporary nature of our lives. Then in verse 16, David begins to describe how they've given and how God put stuff in their hands to give. You know what David's saying in verses 15 and 16? He's saying that our life is temporary. And you and I have a limited time to take what God has entrusted to us and use it for His glory. You know, I've never, one of the difficulties of being a pastor is you wind up beside the bed of a lot of people that are about to die. It's one of the roles that you play. You get called in to come and be with families in that tragedy. I've never heard anyone on their deathbed say, "Oh, Pastor, I just wish my portfolio had grown by a little bit more. Oh, Pastor, I wish my company had expanded just one more time. Oh, I wish I could have just made a little bit more money." But I've heard a whole bunch of them say, "Man, I just wish I'd done more with what God gave me." That's what David's expressing. Our lives are temporary, and we've got a season where we can take what God's entrusted to us. Hey, listen, this life is not all there is. This life's not all there is. Sometimes we begin to look at our resources and everything like this life's all there is. This life's not all there. Matter of fact, this life's not even a blip on the radar compared to all that's yet to come. God's invited us into a big life. And we bless the Lord for that today. Now, when David finished blessing the Lord publicly, look what happened in verse 20. "Then David said to all the assembly, 'Now, bless the Lord your God.'" And the assembly blessed the Lord. So that's what we're going to do next. We're going to do just what they did. We're going to stand together in just a moment. Our praise team choir is going to come. They're going to lead us in a song of blessing to the Lord. And we're going to stand as a congregation, as an assembly of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to bless the Lord together. Then we're going to bring our service to a close. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you're at a point of crisis in your life and you just need to talk with someone or pray with him, we're going to have some of our pastors and prayer volunteers along the back wall while we're standing to sing this song of blessing to the Lord. If God's spoken to you and you need to talk to somebody, you slip out of your seat, go to one of these at the back and just say, "Hey, I need to talk to somebody today," and they'll talk with you this morning. For the rest of us, we are going to corporately bless the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me pray. Father, receive this blessing. Lord, may there be a cloud of witnesses in heaven that are enjoying the celebration of your activity. God, to you be all the glory, honor, and praise. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Let's stand together as our team leads us.
Blessed be your name, when I'm in the desert place. Your
every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in glory, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name.
We're going to do one more thing to celebrate today, but I want to show you it's right out of the scripture. It's exactly what they did. 1 Chronicles 29, we've read all of it, except for verse 22. Look at verse 22. So they ate and drank that day before the Lord with great gladness. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go have a party out here in the courtyard. We're going to do exactly what they did, everything but the last part of the chapter where David died. We're not going to do that, all right? But it says a ripe old age, so we're going to go out into the courtyard and we're going to celebrate together. We're going to enjoy fellowship. We've got hamburgers, hot dogs, chips, drinks. It's all out there. It's all free. And we're just going to have a party together as a church family. So after our offering is received, Teddy's going to dismiss you out there. And after the service, those that were standing on the platform with me, all these missionaries and mission teams, are going to be at different kiosks out here in the courtyard. You can stop by, you can get prayer cards, you can get information about what God's doing in their lives, and you can find out needs that they have, maybe that God would lead you to meet. So let me pray for us, and then our team's going to lead us. Father, thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we want to be like that one in the New Testament that was healed, not like the nine that went away, but the one that came back and said, oh God, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering and multiply it that the ends of the earth would fear you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And all of us say together, amen.